The Rand Report for November 19, 2010 is coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is The Rand Report, available 24/7 on your computer or cell phone from therandreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This week we conclude Hap Holly KC9RP's interview with Dave Morris, N5UP, the ham behind EQSL, an electronic QSL card website whose web address is eqsl.cc. So why CC and not com?
It's quite simple. eqsl.com was already taken. Some limousine company had eqsl.com, and I tried to talk them out of the domain name, and they wouldn't talk to me. So I registered qslcard.com and qslcards.com, and also eqsl.org and eqsl.net. So I have all those, but unfortunately I don't have eqsl.com. I don't have that because it belongs to a limousine company and they just don't want to give it up. The actual name of the company is Edward Quality Services and Limousines, EQSL. I've asked them, you know, would you mind at least putting a link on your homepage that says, if you're looking for ham radio, QSL cards, whatever, click here. Nope, they won't do it. So we're kind of stuck with Edward Quality Services and Limousines, but I think if you go to eqsl.com, you will realize immediately that you're at the wrong place. .cc is a domain, I believe it's Turks and Caicos, and I thought it was kind of cool because then I could call the Electronic QSL Card Center. That's what we are now. We're the Electronic QSL Card Center, and that CC then translates into Card Center. But anybody can get a .cc domain name issued from, and I believe it's Turks and Caicos that CC is from.
Do you put out any kind of newsletter?
No, I don't. I have been involved in newsletters before for other organizations, and I generally figured out early on that once you start putting out a newsletter, you cannot stop putting out the newsletter, and you have to keep generating that content week after week or month after month or however you're doing it. And I just don't have the bandwidth to come up with something new to write about every week or every month. We do have a thing called site news on the website. If we announce a new award or if something noteworthy happens, I will put that into site news and then people can read about it there. It also shows up on the front page when you first bring up www.eqsl.cc. It will show whatever the latest newsworthy things are. I also created a blog that I mainly used for cases where the EQSL website might go down for some reason. Well, if EQSL goes down, then there's no way for me to post on EQSL what's happening and when is it going to be back up and all of that kind of stuff. And so I created eqslcc.blogspot.com. And if for some reason the system has to be taken down because we're upgrading software or we've got to do something to the database, or we're migrating to some new hardware or something like that, people can go to eqslcc.blogspot.com and they can get their status updates because that's maintained on a completely separate system through the blogspot.com people. One of the things that we put on site news on July 1st, one of the news items was that our award manager, K7INA, Russ Fish, had approved the 11,000th e-award for us. He has literally looked at, reviewed, and approved 11,000 e-awards in our system. That was quite an accomplishment, I thought. We put that on the site news. Interestingly, we don't get a lot of flames directly. What will happen is we'll see some flaming show up on other sites where people are discussing our service. One of the benefits of having an all-volunteer support team that answers the email is that if people know that their email is going to be answered by a volunteer that's not being paid, they'll put on the kid gloves and they'll be a little bit more civil and polite than they would if these were full-time paid employees that they could vent all of their anger on. Most of our emails that we get tend to be pretty civil and polite, even if the subject matter is very difficult. I'm an entrepreneur, and I have always in life tried to have my work revolve around the things that I love to do. I was working as a full-time employee. I was the chief technology officer for a hospital software company until about 2005. In 2005, I started looking at the amount of time that I was spending on EQSL when I would come home from work every day. Only about 10% of our members have ever paid anything into the membership system. So 90% of our members are getting the service for free. But in about 2005, the amount of money that was coming in from that 10% of the users for those premium memberships started to make me reconsider whether I wanted to drive all the way across town and work for the hospital software company. My wife was doing pretty well at the time, and I thought I can quit commuting and start working on this system a little bit more, start beefing up some of the awards, and I can probably make it on what's being generated in the way of voluntary donations from the membership. It's worked out well. I wouldn't have the money to hire a staff, or I don't live lavishly. I wish it had panned out something like Microsoft did, where I could drive a Ferrari and all that, but I'm afraid it doesn't. But it's a decent living. I enjoy the fact that I can offer the service for free to 90% of the membership.
You're listening to our second excerpt from a November 2010 interview Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, had with the ham behind EQSL, Dave Morse, N5UP. We'll be right back after I remind you that you can be one of the first to know when the next RAIN report is posted. Come join us on Twitter. Twitter.com/TheRAINReport.
I come into the office at 8 o'clock in the morning. One of the bedrooms in my house is absolutely crammed full of computers and electronic equipment and books. That's where I spend most of my day. My server sends me a text message every morning at 8 and every evening at 5 and tells me, yes, I'm still alive. Here's how many users we have. Here's how many cards we have, etc., etc. And I basically come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, take care of things for the first 3 or 4 hours, go through all my email, check the status of the system, go look at the disk space left, make sure we're not running out of disk space, check to see how the awards programs are doing, all those kinds of things. Then I generally do other things in the afternoon and then come back in here again later in the afternoon and work on it until I get tired and go watch TV later at night. Now, the question of how much time would I really have to work on it is entirely different because I set my own pace. I look at the things that people have asked me to do. If we have any specific support problems, if somebody's getting an error message when they try to apply for an award, or if a plaque manufacturer has made an award plaque incorrectly and I have to have it remade, things like that. If there are things that are urgent that have to be taken care of, then I do that. But a lot of my time is spent working on the system in things that you would probably call voluntary or just playing around kind of things, playing around with new ideas. What if I did this? What if I changed the site to look more like Facebook? What if I changed the colors here or there? What if I added this feature? So a lot of the things that I work on are kind of future concepts. A lot of them never pan out. I have an advisory board I can run my ideas by. There's like about 20 of these guys. They tell me when my ideas are crazy and they say, no, don't mess with that. Go back and work on this other thing. That's how I sort of get my priorities set. The users tell me, man, we really need this. And my advisory board tells me, you really need to work on that. And so that kind of sets my priorities. One of my goals is to put the FT-857D that I've got into my airplane and hang a trailing long wire antenna out the back that's hooked up to an automatic tuner to make contacts literally in the air, on the air. And one of my purposes for that is to test out the new EQSL interface that will allow you to upload a log of contacts that really literally are made from a different QTH every second, because I'd like to be able to work people as I'm flying and then upload that log and have it automatically look up the grid square and the county that I was in at the time and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be the acid test for being able to upload a mobile log. Even before you register or anything, there are some links there that you can follow that tell you how the system works. We've got a little pictorial, sort of a cartoon strip there that tells you how the system works. As I said before, it is completely free to sign up and register. It only takes a couple of minutes. And so then once you're on there, you can rummage around. When we go to Dayton, for example, we set up a lookup computer where people can come walking by. They can type in their call sign, and we'll tell them how many EQSLs are sitting there in the database waiting for them. And all they've got to do is register, and boom, they can go retrieve all those cards. What people don't really realize is that most everybody who is a member of the system now has got some sort of logging software that they're using. And when you use logging software, you just upload the whole logbook into our database, and those cards will sit there and wait for somebody to register and retrieve them, potentially forever. And so if you're not a member of EQSL.cc, your cards are still probably sitting there waiting for you. And you can come to our site, type in your call sign, and it'll tell you who the cards are from and how many you've got and all that kind of stuff. It is totally risk-free and free of charge to sign up and at least get on the system, and then we just ask people just to upload your whole logbook. You don't need to go through and try to respond to each card that comes in one at a time. Just upload your whole logbook if you're using logging software, and most all of them have an ADIF export capability now. That'll get you online quickly and easily, and you could start collecting your EQSL cards. I would dearly love to have some feedback from a blind person about how we could improve some of our interface or the appearance of our EQSL cards or something to make it more usable to blind people. One of the things that I thought would be kind of cool is if users that upload their own graphic could write up a little text annotation of what this graphic has on it, so that when you display a QSL, that maybe the alt text would say, blue skies with nice snow-capped mountains and a meadow in the foreground and a little barn house. What I put on the alt text, it says something like EQSL from, you know, K7 to UW, or it's very nondescript. And I was thinking about that the other day. Maybe it'd be nice to have it give more of a description of what this graphic has got on it.
And that concludes our behind-the-scenes look at EQSL, the Electronic QSL Card Center website Dallas Texan Dave Morse, N5UP, launched in 1998. Today, almost 200,000 hams have uploaded millions of their DX logs to EQSL.cc. To send an email to Dave Morse, see the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. This interview was conducted via Skype. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2010. Rain. All rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from everyone connected with Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.